Good morning, Church.
This morning's reading is from Genesis chapter 28, 10 to 22. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey, I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household. Then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth."
Thanks, Louise. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Please keep that Bible reading open in front of you. We're going to spend some time looking at that. But before we do, allow me to pray and commit this time to God. Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning for the privilege of sitting under your word. Lord, we pray, please speak to us, and Father, help us to hear you. Not just hear, but Father, help us to respond in a way that honors you, Lord. And we ask this, Father, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in our story of Genesis, the focus now turns to Jacob in Genesis chapter 28. Right? Jacob, we've heard a little bit about him, and he is on the move. He is on the move, both physically and spiritually. We met him last week in chapter 27. God had indicated that his promises to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12 will now flow through Abraham's grandson, Jacob. But as we saw last week, God's choice of Jacob doesn't look very promising, is it? He conned his own father. He stole his brother's birthright and his blessing. He lied. He cheated. On all accounts, Jacob is not a saint. He's actually a crook. By the end of chapter 27, his life is in danger. He's running away because Esau, his brother, wants to kill him. Now, some of you may have watched this movie, old one, Fugitive. Harrison Ford acts as Dr. Richard Kimball, who was framed for his wife's murder and sentenced to death. And he escapes following a bus crash, right? And Kimball is on the run. He's a fugitive. He's running away from the authorities, hoping to prove his innocence and to find the real murderer of his wife. Now, in this chapter that we read, as he said, we have a runner, don't we? We have a runner. Jacob is on the run. A 550-mile journey from Beersheba to Haran. Now, Harrison Ford, he ran as a fugitive because he was innocent. But here, Jacob, the fugitive, is running because he's guilty and scared. He's afraid. One of the commentators says, Jacob would have been about 77 years old by this time. And notice, he's not married yet, and he's still living at home. And as he leaves, in chapter, we didn't read this section, but chapter 28 at the beginning, his father kind of takes him to a side and tells him, now that you're going away, go to your uncle's place, and please, 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 find a good wife for yourself. And settle down. Jacob is on the run. He's on the move. Running away from home, from his family, running away from the fear of death. And Jacob is running away without God. We don't hear him pray. We don't hear him worshiping God as he leaves. How could he? He has disregarded God's way and God's will, and he's not expecting any favors from God, is he? Jacob is on the move, and he makes his first pit stop in a place called Luz. And he doesn't even have a pillow to lay down his head. So what does he do? He finds a stone and uses as a pillow. As he puts down his head to sleep, he must have felt the weight of his guilt. Right? He must have felt afraid, anxious, lonely, homesick, very vulnerable, uncertain of the future. What about you this morning? Are you on the move? Are you running? Maybe some of you have moved country, suburbs, or states. Maybe you have moved churches, moved away from family and friends, moved to a new job, to a new role, moved out of your comfort zone. You moved away looking for work, new life, maybe a wife or a husband, looking for a new beginning. Or perhaps you're running away from God because of sin and disobedience. And like Jacob, you might be feeling very anxious, afraid, lonely, apprehensive, tired, and guilty. And you might be wondering, what on earth am I doing here? Why has God brought me here? Now, I remember my sister telling a story recently when she had to go to the bank to withdraw some money, and she forgot to take her photo ID, and she didn't want to go back, so she wanted to somehow go and approach, but she was very apprehensive. The money was urgent, and then as she went up to the counter, this gentleman on the other side of the counter addressed her by her first name, and she hasn't given any documents or anything, and my sister was very puzzled. How did he know my name? And this gentleman asked, can't you remember, madam, my name? Can't you remember me? And she said, I can't. And he told her how a few years ago, he came to work where my sister worked, and my sister had trained him for a couple of weeks. You see, she ran into a former colleague in a place where she was never expecting to find anyone to help her. And he helped her with the banking. Now Jacob is running away, right? He's running away to save his life. He's going to find a wife for himself, looking for a new beginning, leaving his past behind. He's in no man's land. And look who he runs into. He has a dream. The night, as he was uncomfortably sleeping on this stony pillow, Jacob has a dream. He sees a stairway reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending. And on top of that, he sees the Lord God. And verse 13, God introduces himself as the God of Abraham and Isaac. And notice, this is the very first time Jacob is having a personal encounter with God. He has heard about this God, his father. This is the very first time. So God graciously wants him to know who he is, his identity. He is not any other pagan gods in the land. No, he is the God of his ancestors. In the middle of nowhere, in a place where Jacob wasn't expecting to see anyone, he runs into God. And God wants Jacob to know that he can't run away from God. God is everywhere. Isn't that what David says in Psalm 139? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. In the depths, you are there. Far side of the sea, you're there. Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me. Where can I go from your presence? You see, it should encourage us, isn't it, to know that God is present. He's present with his people. Wherever we go, in the darkest prison, in the hospital bed, in the ward, in a country, a workplace, in a classroom, where you kind of think, well, God is not here. In the wilderness, in the valleys, in the mountaintops, he is present with his people. You see, Jacob wasn't looking for God. God finds him. He comes after him. And let me assure you, he will do the same with his people. In the dream, after the introduction, God reminds Jacob of the promises that he made to Abraham, right? Why does he do that? He wants to remind Jacob and the readers and us, despite the messes that we saw in the last chapter, he's still committed to his plan. Promises about the land, children, and blessings. Although humans have messed things up, God is still committed to his covenant promises. And what is more amazing is, God reveals that he will continue his covenant promises now through Jacob. What is the word you? What is the word you? Jacob and his children, his descendants, are going to be now part of this plan. And then if you read further on, verse 15, the focus now turns purely on Jacob, right? To the lonely, scared, homesick, vulnerable, fugitive, God says, I am with you. I will watch over you. I will bring you home. And I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. In one level, does that make you scratch your head? Now, we've just found out what a crook Jacob is. And God is still choosing him? Couldn't God find someone else, someone better? But on another level, as we read the Bible, we find this is how God works. He chooses the weak, the vulnerable, the unpopular, the unwise, the sinner, and those who hasn't got their act together to further his will, doesn't he? Someone once said, if God chose people who had their act together, our Bible will be very short and the church will be empty. See, God encourages Jacob by his presence and comforts him with his promises. And this is God's amazing and surprising grace, isn't it? The same God who is in control of the whole universe, he's also concerned of this small, running away, scared sinner. And he understands and cares for this tiny speck of dust. You see, these promises that God gave Jacob, they're not just given to Jacob only, right? They're promises to God's people in every age, everywhere. They're given to us as well, that God will be with us wherever we are, and he will watch over us in every season, providing for our needs, that one day he will bring us home. Not an earthly home, but our heavenly home. You see, just when Jacob would have thought, well, God is done with me, God shows up and says, I'm just getting started with you. Perhaps you may be wondering, what on earth am I doing here in my journey so far? What is the purpose of this season? Why this move? Why now? What next? And I'm certain that all of our moves are God-ordained moves. They're not accidents, friends. They're God-ordained moves that we might run into God, that we might know him better and trust him completely, that our faith might be stronger. Perhaps he's just getting started with some of you. Removing distractions and the scaffoldings that we have built around us, making you question the belief that you have held for many, many years. He's bringing in into your place where you can see and hear him clearly. Because that's what we do, don't we? When we can't see something and something is kind of covering, we move. And when we can't hear, the phone reception is bad, we move to a place where we can hear. So God might be doing that in this season, so that you might know Jesus and trust him completely. But then how did Jacob respond to all this? Now, a couple of days ago, I had to go to the house next door at about 10 o'clock in the night, right? I had this hoodie on and I walked in, the lights was on, and there was someone who will remain unnamed was in the kitchen, and I walked in. I think he nearly wet his pants. He got scared and shouted, and I think it was about for half a minute. He was like, ah! I think here in verse 16, we have a similar situation. When Jacob is woken up by this dream, he's terrified. He's terrified to know that God is in this place. He wasn't expecting to see anyone. And he's filled with awe because God has come to visit him. And he knows full well that he doesn't deserve such a treatment from God. And the very first thing he does is, he worships God, doesn't he? He worships God. He sets up the stone that he was sleeping as a pillar and anoints it with oil and renames that place Bethel, which means the house of God. See, friends, in the presence of a holy, all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty God, we should be terrified. Simply because there is no way that you and I can stand before such a God without being consumed, because we are told in Hebrews that He is a consuming fire. Unholy us cannot stand before a holy God. But at the same time, it should drive us to awe and worship, because the same God draws near to us. He graciously allows us to draw near to Him. He does that today through His Son, Jesus Christ. We don't have to go to Bethel. We don't have to go to a special place, a holy site somewhere far away to meet God. No, we have access to God through His Son, Jesus, who died to take the punishment for us, who removed the barriers that we have to come to God. And we are told that we can boldly approach the throne of God's grace because of our Lord Jesus, the great high priest. He should draw us to awe and worship Him. But then we move on in our study in Genesis chapter 28, and we come to verse 20 to 22. After all these experiences that Jacob had, verse 20 to 22, Jacob does something unusual, doesn't he? He makes a vow. He makes a vow. If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey that I'm taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. If and then. Now, a commentator by the name of Kent Hughes has this to say. Jacob's amazement, fear, declarations, and worship were also exemplary and makes good models for us to imitate. But not so with his vow, because if and then are not the language of faith. Faith does not bargain with God, saying, if God do thus, and so then I will make him my God. Don't you think that this is what Jacob is doing here? If and then. Just like he did with his brother back in Genesis chapter 25 to get his birthright, Jacob is making another bargain, isn't he? This time with God. He seems skeptical. He wants to keep his options open. He doesn't want to surrender himself fully. He doesn't want to completely trust in God. He may have been awestruck by the dream, but he still, in effect, demands that God prove himself before God can expect something in return from Jacob. You see, he's happy to have God as his family God, and not ready yet to claim that he is my God. Perhaps that's where you are this morning. Not ready yet to trust God of the Bible. And you're running away from God. You respect Him. You're struck by Jesus' works and His word. And you know a whole lot about Jesus. And you have family members who sincerely believe Jesus, But like Jacob, God is still the God of your parents, or the God of your wife, or your God of your husband. He's your family God. He hasn't become your God. You don't have a personal relationship with the God of the Bible. And perhaps like Jacob, you are in this bargaining phase with God, stretching His grace, stretching and testing His grace. And God may have kept His end of the deal, but you haven't. See, in Acts chapter 2, Peter urges his listeners, right? Each of you must repent of your sin and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. So let me urge you with Peter, don't wait till tomorrow if that is you. Tomorrow may not come. Don't plan to leave this earth without trusting in Jesus, without your sins forgiven. Do it while you can. Talk to me or talk to one of the elders or a Christian friend. Because this is important. This is important. Now, Jacob is a piece of work, isn't he? A work in progress. He's on the move. His journey of faith has begun. And he's got a long way to go. And Jacob is one of God's reclamation projects, isn't he? And as we read on, we see God graciously accommodating Jacob's requests. And He protects him, He provides for him, and God of his fathers becomes his God. And all of us who have believed in Jesus are like Jacob, aren't we? A work in progress, a reclamation project of God. And there's a long way to go. And for us, Paul says, God has begun a good work in all of us. We're not complete yet. He's begun a good work in all of us. But He's certain, and we must be certain, that He will complete it on the day Jesus returns. He has begun a journey in us. It's not just us moving. God is moving with us. He's on the move. He's on a process of transforming and making us more and more like Jesus. Let's trust in that process. Let's trust God in that process. Commit ourselves to that process daily. I want to give us now a moment to just pause and reflect and respond. What is God telling you? What is God prompting you this morning? So take a couple of moments in silence to reflect and to respond. You might want to pray on your own and commit yourself to God and ask God those questions. What are you doing at this time in my life, in this move, in this season? Let's do that for a couple of moments. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord. Sometimes we forget in all our moves. We forget that you are moving with us. We sometimes think that it is all on our shoulders. But we are so thankful, Lord, that you remind us that you are on the move with us. Lord, I don't know what my brothers and sisters are going through right now, but you do, and I pray for each one of us this morning. Lord, may we all run into you in our seasons, in our moves, and may we hear you clearly, may we see you clearly. And Lord, take away the distractions, please. And would you help us to be strong in our faith. And Father, I pray for those who are here this morning, or those who might be listening online, those who haven't yet made that personal commitment to follow you and call you my God. Thank you for the opportunities that you are giving each one of them. And I pray, Lord, that they won't take your grace for granted. Father, they will repent and turn to you and find forgiveness in Jesus. Even now, even today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. You are a good and a gracious King. Lead us, we pray. In his name we pray all this. Amen.